Heavenly Father, Lord, as they come to sing, Lord, I pray, Lord, as we preached last week, we come in here with a clean heart, come in here with the right spirit. Lord, it goes together, clean heart, right spirit. And the only way you can create that clean heart is you, God, creating me a clean heart, O God. And Lord, I trust, Lord, we got down on our knees if we needed to this morning and put away what needed to be put away, put under the blood, what needed to be put under the blood. So, Lord, we can come in here and, Lord, let the Spirit of God work on us and in us and through us and preach to us and sing to us. So, Lord, I pray, God, as they sing, Lord, in preparation for the preaching, Lord, that's where our hearts will be. In Jesus' name, amen.
I thought it might be in my name, a shining legacy. I thought it might be in a goal for success to follow me.
I thought it might be in a plan to sail across the seas, but I didn't find what I really need. I found it all.
Aren't you glad he doesn't hide? I'm glad he doesn't make it hard for me to find him. It's just hard for you to want to find him sometimes. Psalm 139. I preached to you last week. Is it swept under the rug or is it under the blood? I trust that's one of those things that has kind of rung in your heart a little bit this week. And add the Lord to let him search you. You know, one of the hardest things sometimes there is for us believe, Christians especially, is to want the Lord to search us. But can I tell you one of the greatest things that can happen in your heart, in your life, is to let the Lord search your heart. Try your heart. Why? You want a clean heart. And sometimes what you find in the process of letting the Lord do that, you might find there's some things in there that the Lord shows you. And then you have to deal with them. But aren't you glad He showed you? Why? Because I want to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ.
But I would like to take the thought a little bit more even this morning with you today and let you realize this. Whether you ask the Lord to search your heart, the Lord already knows what's in your heart. See, the one who doesn't know is you. That's the purpose for search my heart, O God, and show me. Why? Because the Lord already knows every one of us and where we are in our heart and life today. Psalm 139, if you would please stand. I'll read a few verses, let you stretch your legs. The Bible says, O Lord, verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me. You know he's better than Google. A Google search doesn't know everything. God knows everything. Google will miss something. God misses nothing. Look how it starts out. Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Some of you are thinking, praise God. That way he can get the preacher to shut up so I can sit back down. No, I'll scratch that for my jokes. I thought it was funny. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways, whether you're standing, whether you're sitting, or whether you're lying down. You know, God covers it all. He covers all the bases. Why? It gets better. Look what he says. For there is not a word in my tongue, but. And I gave you this little acronym for that word, but, when you're reading the Bible. Better understand this. Lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. There's not a word in your tongue that he doesn't know it. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Can I just pause there for a second? Are you happy God knows everything about you today? Does that, reading just those few short verses right there, are you saying the same thing the psalmist says right there? Where he says, oh, such knowledge is so wonderful. I trust it is. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither I shall flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Aren't you glad you don't want to make your bed in hell? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. You got a lot of if I's in here. 8, 9, 11, 18. If I, verse 11, say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. He's a great God, isn't he? If you're covered in darkness, you think if there's light, why, the light is Jesus. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You might want to pray before you go to the doctor. Go to the doctor, but aren't you glad he knows all about you? You're fearfully and wonderfully made by him. He holds you together. He keeps the ticker ticking. He keeps the lungs breathing. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You know where you know it? You know it in your soul. Drop all the way down to 21. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. You know, you can quote the first, perfect love casteth out, right? Perfect. Well, there's perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Here it is. Here's my text. All the way back in verse 1, he said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Verse 23. Search me. Can you maybe just put your name there today, please? O God. And know, please insert your name there. My heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. And Lord, when you do it, Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us today, I pray. Preach to us today. Lord, I pray as the psalmist, Lord, thou hast searched me. Lord, we know you're an all-knowing God. We know nothing is hid from you. Nothing's private, nothing's secret. But Lord, there's things you know about us, but maybe you're waiting for us to say, search me, O Lord, for you to bring them back up to us so we can continue the thought from last week and make sure we have a clean heart, a clean way. Make sure what I have, Lord, is not mine, but yours. What I'm doing is not my way, but your way. Not my desires, but your desires. Help us today, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Back to the passage in verse 23. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. If you would, go back to the book of Job. Job chapter 1. I'll use Job maybe today as our illustration for us here and try to preach to us just a little bit here this morning on the thought of this. Is it mine? Or is it God's? Is it mine or is it God's? When you get the thought of the Lord search me and thou hast searched me and the things that you recognize and the things that fill your heart and the things that fill your life and the things that are in you and the things that are around you and the things that you have. One of the things that come along the way there and that searching there is sometimes what comes out is to really know whether the things in my life I really have surrendered all as we sing the song. And I tell you, it's a hard song to sing. Because we like to sing the song, I Surrender All, and it might even be the song we sing today. But have you really surrendered all? Have you really done that kind of search in your heart there as the psalmist went through there and he got in there and then he gets about just a few verses down there and says, man, how wonderful is this? You know, that takes a little bit of time to get to that point where you can let the Lord search you and then finally you come out to how wonderful it is. Usually it's like, stop! Enough! And he's just beginning to tap in a little bit. Why? Because he searches pretty deep. He searches a whole lot deeper than what you and I are willing to search sometimes. He can even get down there to where maybe some bitterness is. Maybe some of that bitterness that you tucked under the rug, but you thought you confessed, and maybe it's still there. And if you're willing just to the continuation there of what we preached last week and say, all right, Lord, I know, I got, man. And then maybe you just said, but Lord, it's like bygones be bygones. I'll never get rid of that. Search me, O God, and know my ways. My ways. You know what happened to Job? You know the story of Job. I just have you back there in Job just so you can get just a brief, the first part of it here. It said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. I mean, good night. Why would that man have to be searched? Why would that man need anything to go along there, man? Why would anything happen to him? I mean, fear God. He eschews evil. He keeps his house. He had a very great house. He had all the things, possessions. I mean, it just seemed like everything was real good in Job's life there. And then the devil comes up around the way there. And the Lord calls over to Satan and says, hey, aren't you glad the devil has to listen to God? If you take any truth with you today, you take anything home with you today, you just be thankful that the devil has to listen to God. Why? We'd all be devoured. Every one of you would be devoured. Why? He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know who keeps him away from you? Resist the devil. That's all you got. well, what's the power in my resisting? No, 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 no. The power is not in you. The power is in Jesus Christ. See, what you have is, Lord, help me. Ephesians 6, you stand in that great truth, and the devil has to listen to God. So the Lord calls over the devil there and says, hast thou considered thy servant Job? And the devil's like, well, I mean, you got this and a hedge and all this kind of stuff there. And the Lord said, that's all right, I'll let you have at it. He put some guidelines. Again, aren't you glad the Lord has guidelines? You're real glad the Lord has guidelines. Restrictions for the devil. Restrictions. I'm glad He restricts them. You thought you'd gone through some things, and maybe you've gone through some things in your own life, and even self-inflicted wounds where you got messed up in the world and messed up in sin, and you gave a place to the devil. Aren't you glad even in that time the Lord had some mercy, and He didn't let the devil just take you out, gave you time to repent and get right? Aren't you glad He has some guidelines? So He says, all right, hast thou considered thy servant Job? And you know Job's life, and at that time it seemed like everything there that Job had was going along, and it was the Lord's. And so He comes, and the Lord begins there, and Satan says, all right. And the Lord says, you can do all this, you just can't take his life. So one by one, the devil begins to pick off things, pick off family, possessions, wealth. All these things begin to go away in Job's life. Health. And the whole time, maybe there, and the whole time when you're reading through the book of Job, and I got the tight picture of the tribulation and the 42 chapters and the 42 months and the things that it is and the Jews and the tribulation time like this. But let's just talk about Job today. The whole time the Lord was searching Job. Why? Because when you begin to read about Job, and Job begins to look out, he's crying out for some things, he begins to look down in his side, inside of him, and he's trying to figure out what the Lord's doing and why he's allowing it, and some things along the line there, and those three friends come, and they put all that stuff there, but they shouldn't open their mouth anyway. But the whole time Job's saying, Lord, now I wish I wouldn't even have been born. I kind of got that bad. But I think one thing you do learn through Job, and what happens to him through his life and through that time there and all that the Lord did, he got to be able to search in that heart of his and say, is it mine or is it God's? I'm just going to go through a few things he took away from Job, and then I'll wrap it up with the bow at the end and see what the Lord does here this morning. But one of the first things that happened to Job there, and when it came in there, is Job realized his body's not his own. Can I ask you this morning, does your life belong to you or does it belong to God? Well, He purchased me. He did purchase you, so it does belong to God. But did you take it back or is it His? Could God do anything to you and you would still say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord? My aunt went home to be with the Lord yesterday, 62, 63 years of age. Fought brain cancers. Just one after another, after another, after another. Now, I wasn't there in her dying days, but I've been around plenty of people in their dying days, but to speak on her behalf. You know what she was real glad about yesterday? That her life belonged to God. You know what you're going to be real happy about when it's your turn to go out, if you're saved? That your life belongs to God. Amen. But in the meanwhile, until we go out, until we go home, who does your life belong to? Does it really belong to the Lord today? Or you just say, Lord, you can do with me what you want, but I'm, you know, and then the Lord tries and you're like, yeah, but not that. I'm just asking. Are you spending your days from the time you got saved to the time, blessed be the name of the Lord, and the Lord comes down and absent from the body and present with the Lord, and you take that last breath and you go home to glory, but in between there, you say you were purchased and you were purchased and I am purchased, but does your life belong to you? Or does it belong to God? Can I tell you how you get that answer, please? Because I cannot answer that for you. Search me, O God. And know my ways. Lord, can you use me to do anything you want to do through me? Or do you have some limitations? Would you be willing to go to the mission field for God? Well, preacher, I mean, you know, nowadays there's not that many. I ain't talking about anybody or anybody. I'm talking about you. I asked you to put your name in the passage. Listen, we're a Bible-believing church, man. We like to shout the house down about the Lord Jesus. We love the Bible. My goodness, what you got in Sunday school, you can go all the way around the world today and not find that in what you got. That is a great book. Love that book. Nothing like that book. It's the greatest book on earth. It's the greatest place to be preaching Jesus Christ in church. But would you be willing to go somewhere around the world and preach it yourself? How about it, youngins? Even at a young age, are you willing to pray, Lord, appreciate you saving me? I know I'm not going to hell, and I'm glad for that, but I might be 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. But it's a good time to say, Lord, here's my life. Appreciate you purchased me and purchased me out of hell and paid that sin debt for me, but here's my life. It's yours. I'll put it in your hands, God. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to do what you want me to do. Hey, you know what you're doing, parent? You're praying that your kids do what God wants them to do. I told Brother John after Sunday school, I almost wanted to give an invitation. That got me. I mean, if you were in here and what he told you about your children, What part you have? I'll get to it in a moment here when it comes to kids and family. You say they're the Lord's. Well, if they come to you and say, I want to be a missionary or a preacher, man, you know what you should do? You should shout it out with the Lord and pray with them over that. I try to talk them out of it. My wife grew up on the mission field. She said she was only 3'2". I call her Norwegian. She's a Viking. Olga. Junior church. Thank God. I've been over to Norway. They're scary people over there. She told me, she remembers as a little kid, her daddy getting the call to the mission field. Until they got in the plane, seated. Family tried to talk him out of it the whole time. Taking his grandkids away from grandma and grandpa. What are we going to do about Thanksgivings? What are we going to do about Christmas? What are we going to do about family time? How are they going to know who grandma and grandpa is? Pretty sure that man does not regret choosing God over himself. Choose you this day. You know, many will say, well, I don't go because of and all this. And I got some. I got one married now and I got one who wants to be married. Even so, come Lord Jesus. You know what comes with that? Eventually, I pray. Maybe not. Please don't put pressure on your kids if they're married to have babies. Well, I want to be a grandparent. Well, maybe that's not in God's agenda for you. Why don't you just pray, Lord, please get your will through my kids. May they serve you all the days of their life. I don't love them because of the grandkids. Amen. I was just with someone the other day, and that's the only thing he kept saying to his kid. When are you going to bring me grandbabies? I want to forget it in case they listen. Don't do that. Why? That's all about you. But I could put myself in the picture of that grandparent watching her son, daughter-in-law, and four granddaughters, just little, getting ready to say goodbye to America. Goodbye to grandma and grandpa. When are we going to see? I don't know. And back in that time, there wasn't the technology you have today to be able to see them. You know what that takes? That takes, search me, O God. And Lord, make sure there's nothing between me and you, Lord, because if there's something between you and me, I'm going to choose me. I got to get everything out of the way so I make sure, Lord, my life belongs to you. Does your life really belong to God today? Can you maybe just do a little search today? You love search engines. They're all over the place. You search everything. I mean, how often do you hear, well, what about this? Well, I don't know. Well, search Google. Search you, you know. What about search God? God, search me. What about your life today? Here comes the devil. Here comes the Lord. He says, hey, hast thou concern with thy servant Job? Next thing you know, man, Job's life's turned upside down, man. You know what Job lost? Job lost his kids. I ask you this morning, please, if you have children today, are they yours or God's? Children are an heritage from the... You are to raise them in the admonition of the... Kind of get a theme there, right? Well, they're my kids. You'll raise them better if they're God's kids. Why? What happens if something happens to your kids? I could take you today to a lady who is as bitter and as angry at God as anybody in this world because God allowed her kid to die. And he didn't stop it. Before then, she was as church-going and as active as you could be in church, just like all of you sitting here today. She would look no different than you. She would sit with her family and her kids, just like you see here today. And tragedy struck. And when tragedy struck, what she said about her kids being God's wasn't quite what she had in her heart about her kids being God's. Because you know what she did? She turned away from God. Parent, are you willing to pray? Lord, these are children that you put in our home to raise up for you. And Lord, they're yours. They're yours. I'm not trying to push my agenda on them. I want your ways for them. Again, back to the Sunday school hour and the pressure that we put. Well, we think this is best for my kid and this is what I want my kid to do. Aren't they God's kids? That God has put in your care? So you can call them my kids, but they're God's kids? Do your kids belong to God today? Or if tragedy struck your house, would you quit? I use her often. I'm going to use it again because I think the Lord does things for this kind of stuff. But I look to my right and I see a young lady that sits over there that's gone through some real difficulties with children, with babies. You know the reason she's able to sit in church? It's not my life. The only reason I have life is because of Jesus Christ. Lord, my kids are your kids.
you chosen, Lord, some of the things that have happened over the past, and God, you chosen it, and that's what you chosen, God. But I tell you what, I'm not quitting. I'm not running. I'm not getting bitter. I'm not getting angry. I'm not stopping. Why? Job had how many? Come on, you read your Bible. 10. All 10 gone in one day. One day. One moment. All 10 of your children dead. The Lord giveth. The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How are you able to say that? Search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. Why? Because is there anything between you and the Savior? You won't say that. Job had possessions. It all went away. What happens if all your possessions went away today? You've heard many stories about things and people and tragedies and fires and home fires and losing everything and those kind of things. Can I ask you, are they the Lord's or are they yours? Well, preacher, they're mine. You know, the Lord, yeah, He did. He put them in your possession. But not for them to possess you, but for you to love the provider who gave them to you. I'm just asking. I'm just trying to get you to search. I could never go through that. I could never handle that. Man, I don't know how. Well, what if it comes your way? You might want to make sure today you search and make sure there's no wicked way. No, man, nothing between me creating me a clean heart, Lord. I don't need it under the rug. I need it to be right with you, God. Because you don't know what might come your way. Well, I know how to handle it. Well, you better search. Must hurry. Took his health. Took his money. Everything went away. Everything went away. Back to Psalm 139. You know what I think happened? Verse number one. Oh, Lord, thou hast what? Can I help you out, please? Can I? You know why some people don't want the Lord to search them? Because if they know if they get right, they're afraid what God might allow to come their way. Why? Because it seems like the one that the tragedies and the stuff comes after are the ones that are closest to God, doing the most for God. And Lord, I read some of that and I hear some of that stuff, and I don't know if I'm just willing to have any of that come into my house or my life. I dare say if you talk to anybody here that serves the Lord, does something for the Lord there, and you get in that stuff there, you realize, man, there is a cost to serving Jesus Christ. Things come your way, things that don't happen all the time to every person and stuff like that. But boy, once you're right and you're going to do something for the Lord, and you're trying to sell out for the Lord and do things for God, it just seems like it brings in more turmoils, trials, those kind of things, like the devil's all around. And you know, some people are, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I want to invite that into my life. I don't know if I want the Lord to say, hey, Satan, come over here. Hast thou considered? I mean, I don't know if I want to be that clean. Can I help you? You do want to be that clean.
You do want to be that person that wants to serve the Lord. You do want to be that person that wants to do right and excuse evil. Why? Because greater is He that's in you. The psalmist says here again, O Lord, Thou hast searched me, aren't you? So He searched him already. You know the Lord had already searched Job? He knew Job. Now He knew where He needed to get Job. Job wasn't perfect, as in sinless perfect. Job had a problem there. The Lord was trying to get a hold of Job, letting Job know, hey Job, you didn't do this on your own. Where was thou when thou hast created? But God sure knew enough about Job to know, hey, you know what? This boy won't curse me. This boy will let me use him. This boy will be willing to go through some things for me. This man will be willing to lose everything for me. Yes, along the way, he's going to have some questions. Why do the righteous suffer? Lord, all these kind of things. And he's trying to find God and search out God. But God knew the man's heart. So as the eyes of God search up and down each aisle today and going through your heart right now, and He's searching it, you know that little thing that says searching? And it makes you wait? I'm hypnotizing you. It's searching. It's searching. It's searching. Did He find a man or a lady like Job today? One that said, it's not mine, it's yours, God. Everything I have is yours. So back to 5, 6. Did you answer it that way? That's just wonderful news, Lord. I appreciate that search you did, and my heart is clean. You know what? Maybe I trust some of you in this room, all of you in this room, that was your answer. But I dare say it doesn't always come out that way. I dare say He might be able to find some things in your heart right now. You drop down to 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. It's interesting how he started out, has searched me, and now he asked him to continue to searching. You know what's a good practice to do every day? Search me, O God. You know, probably when you're the cleanest in your own heart and the holiest in your own life is when you're sitting in church. Feels pretty good in here, doesn't it? That's why when I say amen and you all just sit in your seats. Why? Because you know what's out there. It's just kind of better in here. You just kind of feel clean sometimes, feel close to the Lord. The singing, the preaching, the teaching, the fellowship, the camaraderie. You know, it's not none of the worldly stuff and all that kind of stuff. That's why it's good to have a church like this where we don't come in and talk about the world. We talk about Jesus. Help set a right tone. Don't come in and talk about the football and the baseball. Although, okay, I got all that stuff. But you know what? It's better to talk about Jesus. There's something about being in that place in your heart and your life, man, where it just seems like, man, it's just holy. Man, it just feels good. I just feel clean. Kind of, man, all the dirt's out there and all the clean is in here. But in a few minutes, you're going to walk out that door, right? You know what you do daily? Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Maybe some things have creeped in on you. Maybe you've gotten into some things. Maybe you listened to some things. Maybe there's some things that you heard that you didn't even know you heard. And the next thing you know, it's flooding your mind and you're thinking about some things. And, oh God, search me, oh God. Know my way. And look what he asks. And here's what I'll ask you. Verse 24. Here's the hard part. See, you're not asking him to look down to say, oh, look how good I am. No, you're asking him to look down and say, Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Well, is there? Again, I'm not the search engine. The Spirit of God is. You know where you've been. You know what you talked about. You know what you said. You know what kind of grudge. You know what kind. The Lord is, He's searching. He's searching. Might not have to go back very far. Maybe have to just car ride in. You're yelling and screaming at each other. Maybe the car ride in, it wasn't psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I'm just saying. See if there be any wicked way in me. Can I ask you, can I just please, I'm going to wrap it up, believe it or not. You know what happens when there's something wicked between in you? Then it's no longer the Lord's, it's mine. It's no longer my life is His, it's my life is mine. It's no longer my possessions are His, they're mine. It's no longer my kids belong to the Lord, I'm raising them up for the admonition of the Lord, to go in the way of the Lord, they're now mine. You see how things become yours? You know how you make sure it belongs to the Lord and it is on an altar and it all belongs to Him and I surrender all? You make sure there's no wicked way in you. I give you the illustration all the time, but I do believe there's nothing better than being clean. Go back to Job, if you would, please. The last chapter of Job and I'll be done. I like clean. Esther and Wellington aren't here this morning, but Brother Wellington, he's our vacuumer. He's a professional vacuumer. He vacuums this place. You know that's a blessing? The place doesn't clean itself. Gets in here and he gets the vacuum out. First, he spends like 30 minutes fixing it, make sure it's high-powered and all that kind of stuff. I had no idea what he's doing. He takes it all apart, puts it all back together. I'm like, brother, I can just go buy a new one. No. Now, sir, this is how you know, that gentleness. You know, you do this. I'm like, I ain't got the patience for that, sir. I got to go. And he puts it all back together. He takes all your ladies' hair. Ladies, can we do something about that? I'd say, I don't want to make any fun of any man's hair, so I'll just move on from that. But ladies, how do you have hair? I mean, I'll just set it up here in a box next week and just show you what Brother Wellington's willing to do for you. That's amazing. How did I get on that? That's gross. Oh, the vacuum. Dirty and clean. And then Sister Linda and Sister Esther and Sister Jennifer, they clean the building. From all your kids licking everything and putting their sticky hands everything and clipping toenails. Listen, the 11th commandment in the Bible. Stop clipping your toenails or fingernails in church. You about sent the preacher home to heaven the other day. Because I looked down. I don't know. Brother Wellington must have missed it. I picked it up and I was like. And now it's in my hand. I'm not sure the fruit of the Spirit had a hold of me at that time. Okay. Let's move on from that. Clean. Dirty. They clean everything. It's nice to come into a clean place, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it nice? Men, isn't it nice to go home to a clean house? Do you thank your wife for the clean house? You should thank your wife for the clean house. Well, it's her job. You should thank your wife for a clean house. Amen. Now, I used to have to thank my wife for a overly, extremely too clean of a house. She's mellowed out a little bit. When we first got married, she. I used to have fun with it, though. She's good. She didn't care. I'd get up in the night and, you know, everything had to be in order. So I'd flip the pillows. I'd get up after she goes to bed. I'd get up and I'd flip the pillows down and move them around a little bit. I'd take a cup and get a drink and set it down real loud so she'd hear it. And I'd go get back in bed. Next thing you know, there she goes. She had to fix the pillows, put the cup away, and then she can go to sleep. We had a repairman come. I'll tell the story. I'll make up with it. She'll be all right with it. We had a repairman come one time. He's drilling, fixing things, and she's vacuuming underneath him. He says, "Sir, can you please do something about your wife?" I said, "Sir, you fix her. I like a clean house." She's vacuuming. While he's repairing, dust is falling. She was vacuuming. Clean house. Clean house. You like it clean. You know what the Lord likes? He likes it clean. You know where the Lord wants to reside? Where it's clean. You know where the Lord talks to you? In a clean place. You know where the Lord gets you through things? In a clean place. You know why it's important that it's not mine, but it's the Lord's? Because when it's the Lord's, it's a clean place. Your heart's clean. Thou hast searched me. Okay, he searched you. Did you let him search you? He's a gentleman. He already knows. He's just waiting for you to say, "Search me." See how important it is for you to be clean. You know when it's not that important? When it's your life, not his. Okay. It stopped. Now you're waiting for the screen to pop open to see the answer to your search. What was the answer? To come out clean? Or did you find some things that might be hindering me from saying, "Lord, my life is yours. Lord, my kids are yours. Lord, my money is yours. Lord, my possessions are yours. I had you in Job. In the end there, you know what the Lord gave? He gave it all back to Job." Aren't you glad you can trust the Lord with your life? You know it's better for it to be in his hands than your hands? Your kids are better off in his hands than your hands. Your money is better off in his hands than your hands. Your possessions are better off in his hands than your hands. Your life is better in his hands. We sing that little song, "He's got the whole world in his hands." He's got, but does he have you? "Well, I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. I'm saved. I'm going home to heaven." Yeah, amen. But does he have you? Why? We're Bible believers. I mean, listen. I'll come back and come back and come back and come back for what he gave in Sunday school. This is an amazing book. I mean, you start running that stuff and I'm like, you know why? You know why he has to read the book and I can't? Because I don't understand that stuff. He's got the brain to understand it. You know when they say, "Are you a mathematician? You know how my hand stayed down?" I ain't got that. But I sure like to reap the benefit of it. So we'll come for that. But how about coming and saying, "Lord, search me. Search the Scriptures!" Yeah, but search me first. Because if you're going to get anything from the Scriptures, you got to have your own self-search first. You know what that book does? That book will search you. It'll show your weaknesses. It'll show where there needs to be some help. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. You read that whole psalm there, Lord, and it's pretty good. Kind of lays it out for us. "Oh, Lord, thou hast searched me." Go through all the things. Oh, it's wonderful. You know when you search out the Lord, it's wonderful. When you search that book, it's wonderful to know who God is. It's wonderful to know who Jesus is. But what about when he searches you? What about when he searched you? What did he find? Did you find maybe someone who maybe needs to get on their knees today and just say, "All right, Lord, appreciate you showing that to me. All right, Lord, it's been a long..."